Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 12. If you hear a little difference in my voice, I do have a little bit of a scratchy throat, a little bit of a sniffle I caught from the kids. So if I don't get too close afterwards either, don't take it personally. For that same reason, I did kind of leave some stuff out for my sermon this morning with the intent of looking at it Wednesday morning in prayer meeting. So if there's stuff in the passage that we were looking at this morning that you have questions about, or if there's something I says that sounds like it's missing context, because I might not have included what I meant to include there, come join us Wednesday morning. We'll be going over all the rest of the stuff that I've laid out from this passage that I'm not including this morning. So I think that's all the caveats and precursors I had. So we're in Luke chapter 12. Jesus has been teaching and warning those who are following him that they need to make sure that they're not being distracted. He wanted to make sure that they were focused on what's important. And he tells us very clearly what is important. He tells us to stay focused on the kingdom of God. When we put our focus too much on the here and now, when we put our focus too much on the temporary, on this earthly world, then our eyes and our focus is taking off of the kingdom, taking off of the eternal, and taken off of God. That's not to say that, we'll get into this later on, it's not to say that we are to not pay any attention to what's going on here and now, that we are not to do good for this physical world, but it's where is our focus and what is our reason behind it all. And so we are to focus on God, always looking towards Jesus, who the author of Hebrews says is the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is our entire focus. He is what Peter calls our living hope. Jesus, who Paul writes in Titus, is our blessed hope. Jesus, the one who is the reason for everything that we should be doing. And this morning in the passage we're going to look at, Jesus continues to remind us that we are to be prepared, we are to be attentive, we are to be active, and we are to be focused on him and him alone. We're going to read Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. I'll be reading, as always, out of the English Standard Version. I do encourage you to follow along in whichever is your preferred translation. So Luke 12, 35 through 48, Luke writes, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Peter said, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much is given, of him much will be required. And from him whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. May God bless the reading of his word. Pastor and theologian Arnold T. Olson once wrote, "Ever since the first days of the Christian church, evangelicals have been looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. They have disagreed as to its timing and to the events of the eschatological calendar. They may have differed as to the pre-tribulation or post-tribulation rapture, the pre-, post-, or non-millennial coming. They may have been divided as to a literal rebirth of Israel. However, all are agreed that the final solution to the problem of this world is in the hands of the King of Kings, who will someday make the kingdom of this world his very own." Now, I think that that is so important to remember. We all, if we are faithful and saved Christians, believe that the Lord is coming back. He said he was coming back. He will come back at some point, and we are looking forward to that moment, that his kingdom and his victory are not just here, but when they are ultimately consummated and fully recognized and fully initiated. Everything else we can have a conversation about. The timing, all the things that he mentioned in that quote, all of that we can have a conversation about. We can even come to different conclusions about. But only if we agree to keep it as a secondary issue. Not his second coming. That's a first-tier issue. That's an absolute close-handed issue. But the way it plays out and the form that it takes, views on those different things, on the spiritual or literal or symbolic fulfillment of prophecy, these are secondary issues, and we cannot and will not let that become arguments or divide us as brothers and sisters in Christ. So with that caveat out of the way, let's look at what Jesus says here. What he says, basically, summed all up, is ready or not, I'm coming. Jesus uses, this morning in this passage, he uses the language of servants and masters. And we're going to dive deeper into that on Wednesday as well. But firstly, we see Jesus talking about servants who are waiting for their master to return from a wedding feast. To put it in today's modern terms, is like employees waiting for their boss. Their boss is gone for the day, and they know he might come back sometime towards the end of the day, but they've got free rein, and they've got responsibilities, they've got their jobs to do, but they don't have his direct oversight at that point in time. Jesus says to stay ready, to keep working, to be prepared, for the boss can come back at any moment. You never know when he's going to return, so be ready so that you can be sure to welcome him with open arms. Don't be lazy in your work. Don't be lazy in your faith. Now, don't be frantic either. Instead, be ready. Be prepared. Who is the good servant? Is it the one who is prepared, who is ready and waiting for the master to return, or the one who is not paying attention, who is caught by surprise, not doing what he's supposed to be doing? The good servant is the one who is prepared. Blessed are the ones who the master finds ready and awake, prepared and faithful. In that case, the tables will be turned, Jesus says, for the master will serve the servants. That's exactly what Jesus did in his first coming. Sometimes, especially when Jesus is talking about time, it can be difficult to identify if Jesus is talking about past, present, or future. That's because as God, God is outside of time. There is no past, present, and future to God the Father. And Jesus had that same view when he was up in heaven. There was no past, present, and future. He was outside of time. And so when we see some of the things he says, it can be sometimes difficult for us as humans to recognize, is he talking past, present, or future? We see at different times him speaking of his first coming, his first advent, his birth, and his earthly ministry. Other times, looking ahead to his second coming, the distant future, the eternal spiritual ministry. And in his first coming, Jesus did exactly what he says here. The master came, and the master served his servants. We'll see coming up in the last days of Jesus that Jesus will get down and wash the feet of his disciples. A reversal of the roles that were expected, that were the norm, that were the roles themselves as they were defined. The master came and served his servants instead. And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are awake and paying attention, for the master will clothe and serve them." And we see that the longer it takes for the master to come back, the more blessed are those whom he finds awake. If we come on the second or third watch, the Jewish put the night watch into three shifts. So the first shift would have been early in the night. The second and third watches would have been in the middle of the night or the early morning when everybody was asleep. It would have been the toughest time to stay awake, to stay prepared, to stay attentive. Jesus says, even if it's in the second or third watch, if you are awake and you are faithful in that, that is all the more blessings. Well, there are people throughout all throughout history who seem like they are being faithful, who seem like they are staying prepared. They are focusing on Jesus and his return. And some have even said that they figured out when Jesus was coming back. They are and were, of course, wrong. Some have been pretty famous for it as well. Harold Camping was a radio minister based here in California. He started in 1958, and he first predicted Christ's return in 1994. He predicted three successive wrong dates that year, or within that frame. Then he waited a number of years. He did the same thing in 2011. One date became wrong, then a second date a few months later. The reason I bring this up is his ministries brought in millions and millions of donations, increasingly so as the dates got closer. His ministry spent over $100 million publicizing the end of the world. He repented after the last date passed, said he recognized that he was wrong, his search was sinful. He passed away less than 2 years after his last prediction. The Millerites were a group of followers of William Miller in the 1830s and 40s. And he did all sorts of fancy math, mostly using the book of Daniel. He figured out that Jesus was going to return sometime in 1843. When that didn't happen, he said, well, he actually did return, but it was a spiritual return instead of a physical return. This group, the Millerites, led directly to the founding of the Seventh-day Adventists, and less immediately, though still directly, to the founding of the Jehovah's Witnesses. My point in talking about these two specifically, but there's many, many, many others that I could have mentioned, who have wrongly predicted Jesus' return, is that there are ways in which we can be too focused. We can be too focused if we are focusing on the wrong aspect. These men were too focused on the second coming of Jesus because they were focusing on the when. We are told not to worry about the when, only that we are to be prepared because it will happen. Yes. We are to be looking forward to it. We're not to ignore it and just say, well, someday it'll happen no matter what. We are to look forward to it. We are to be prepared for it. We are to work towards it. But we are not to be overly focused on the when. Peter tells us that God is not slow that some should say that the second coming will take place. Peter tells us that God is not slow, as some would call him slow, but that he is going to initiate this event, the second coming, and it will take place at the exact time and in the exact form as was determined by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before the beginning of time. We are not to focus on the dates, which Jesus says elsewhere, not even he nor the angels in heaven know the time. Instead, we are to focus on being faithful. Ezekiel 33, verses 8 and 9. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. We are to be faithful with the message that God has given us. We are to be faithful with the gospel that God has presented to us. We are to to be faithful with the responsibilities that he has given us. And if we are not, we will answer for it. We cannot cause anyone to believe. We cannot cause anyone to repent. But God has told us that we are to call them to it all the same. So we will answer for whether we were faithful in calling those to repent and to believe. We will not answer for whether they actually did it. And that's a key difference that we need to remember, we keep in our minds as we go through this. Since we don't know and we won't know when his return will actually be, only that he will return as a thief in the night, we need to make sure that we are being faithful and timely in that responsibility. Now, that doesn't, the thief in the night thing, that doesn't mean that he's going to return in secret. What it means is that his return will be the most public event to ever occur in history. Every single person, every set of eyes, every set of ears, every single soul will know when Christ returns in power. Like a thief in the night instead means there will be no warning. There will be no reason to think it will be this day. Because as he says, Jesus says, if the master knew that tonight would be the night the thief would break in, he would not leave his home and let it be broken into. There's no warning, no reason to think today would be the day. And yet, when he returns, it will be like a thief in the night, and he will give no warning in that regards. So we have the dual responsibility to act and to live as though it could still be another 2,000 years until he comes. We work for the good of our cities. We put down roots. We raise families, raise kids, raise generations of kids. We steward God's creation. And we do all the things that will leave lasting legacies. And at the same time, we act and live as if I won't finish this sermon today because he could come back in the blink of an eye. That's hard to balance that. It's hard to balance that. But that's what God has called us for. Both of those are true. How he has called us to act and how he has called us to live. We are to make sure that we are faithful and wise. That we do the things he has for us to do. We don't wait until tomorrow to do what God has told us to do today. We sound the alarm from the watchtower and we share and are faithful in God's message. So Peter asks in the middle of all this, says, are you telling this to us, meaning the disciples, or to all of us, the greater crowds, the masses, to everyone? And that's a valid question. We have to often ask that when we read the comments and the teachings of Jesus. The answer of who Jesus is addressing in certain passages is different based on the content and the context of the passage. Sometimes Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples specifically. Sometimes he is speaking to Christians in general, all Christians of all times. Sometimes he is speaking to the multitudes, the whole of humanity. Who he is speaking to determines how we interpret and apply that passage. So Peter's question is a legitimate question. Are you telling this to us specifically or to us, all of us? And Jesus answers Peter, though, as usual, not like Peter wanted him to. He instead answers what to me sounds like an expansion of Luke 11:28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. If we could boil Jesus' answer to Peter down into one line, that would be it. And he goes on, and essentially, we are not owners. We are managers and stewards of God's creation. This is not our world. This is his world. Our house is not our house. It is his house. Our possessions are not our possessions. They are his possessions. My life is not my life. Your life is not your life. Our lives are his lives. And Jesus is telling this to his followers in general, Christians in all times and places, but he's even more specifically telling this to his apostles. So there's two answers to that question. He's telling this to his apostles, whom he would entrust the building of his church to. This is not their church. This is not our church. This is not my church. It's not Dave's church. It's not Mike's church. It's not Jim's church. It's not even Banger's church. This is God's church. And Jesus is the head of it. And he is entrusting it to us to be managers and stewards of it, to do the things he has called us to do as a church body and as individuals within the church. But ultimately, we are to remember that this is not our church and this is not our home, but this is God's church and we are citizens of his kingdom. He who is faithful and wise, he will be rewarded. Do the work that God has set before us. Be diligent and prepared, and you will receive your rewards. Of course, this is not anything close to doing these works in order to earn rewards, especially the rewards of salvation. Salvation, the ultimate reward of being saved from the wrath of God due to our sins, salvation is by the grace of God alone, through our faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. But as servants of our Lord, we show our faith by faithfully obeying him. And as a general rule, we see often faithfulness and obedience are rewarded here on earth. Faithfulness, it is important to remember, does not lead to faith. Again, get those mixed up so often in our application of God's word. Faithfulness does not lead to faith. Faithfulness flows from faith. Amen. To be clear, salvation and citizenship in God's kingdom are not, repeat, not a reward for faithfulness. Salvation is a gift from God by his grace through faith in the work, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, our salvation is a reward for Christ's faithfulness, not ours. The gist of the last section here is how much we know and what we choose to do with it will determine how God deals with us. This is one of the areas we're going to go deeper in on Wednesday. But we see those who refuse to be faithful servants will not be rewarded. And it's not just punished for doing bad, but it's punished for not doing good as well. There are sins of omission, which means not doing what you're supposed to. And there are sins of commission, doing the things you're not supposed to do. And both types of sins will get punished. Both types of sins are worthy of the wrath of God. And we remember, as we saw Jesus mention just a little bit ago, a couple of weeks ago now in our look at it, but we remember that all will be revealed in the end. Lastly, everything you do, do it unto the Lord. If you are faithful with what God has given to you, if you are faithful with what you know and what you have been given, God will give you and trust you with more. That is the one of the things that Jesus closes this with. Be ready, pray, and serve. Focus on the coming of his kingdom. Focus on God's will. The ultimate question comes down to not what is required of us, but what has been bestowed to us. And ultimately, it comes down to faithfulness. Faithfulness in Christ's work and his promises. Faithfulness in being prepared for when he comes back. Faithfulness in letting others know that he is coming back. Philip Ryken writes, even apart from his promises, we know that Jesus must come again to consummate his saving work. How else can every wrong be righted and every evil brought to justice? How else can Satan be defeated and condemned to hell? How else can Jesus gather his people to himself? How else can he receive the honor that he alone deserves unless he comes again in power and glory? Jesus is coming, just as he promised to judge the world. Are you ready or not? We have to have our eyes focused on God, on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. On he who is coming again to judge the righteous and the unrighteous, to separate the sheep from the goats, who will welcome those of us who have a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Well done, my faithful servants. To those who don't, no matter the works that they did that they thought would get them in, depart, for I never knew you. He is coming again, and the question is, are we ready or not? I will leave us with Titus 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, you have given your Son. He came down once. He lived a faithful and righteous life. He died a sinless death so that we who believe can put our trust in his righteousness, his sinlessness, his faithfulness. And you would welcome us as adopted children into your loving arms. We pray that change of heart that you have given us, that we would be faithful to you, that we would hear the things you have called us to do, that we would spread your message of faith and repentance and faithfulness to all who would hear, so that they would believe and trust in you as well. Lord, help us to stay focused on you and your will, on your coming, not on the when, but to rest in the promises that you have provided, and to know that ultimately in the end, all will be revealed, that through Christ's righteousness, we will be rewarded and welcomed into heaven, and that evil will be punished and justice will be done. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to CaseyHolenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened thus far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at CaseyHolenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.